You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are dutifully trying to reach our people at Ameren, but the this is why.
At the inaccessible Montgomery Bell State Park, as we found out through bitter experience in the past.
We have tried to broadcast from up there with mixed results in the past.
Had to launch our own satellite almost, but got it done.
On the two occasions that I've spoken at Ameren, both at Montgomery Bell during the Montgomery Bell era, I think we had to do it by calling in from the hotel phone from the hotel room is how we had to do it, because you couldn't get any internet access in the conference center, and even cell phones don't work in the conference center.
I tell you what, text.
At least, we're on that. At least they work sporadically at best. And so what's going on at Ameren right now is that they're in their dinner banquet, and we can't get our guest because they have no cell phone reception. So the only way they would get cell phone reception is if they knew to walk back to their hotel rooms. And I made mention of the fact that this may be a problem, and indeed we have encountered this problem. So what's going on is we have two people.
If you ever want to be lost, if you want a lost weekend, go up to Montgomery Bell. Nobody can get in touch with you there.
While we attempt to reach Lana and Gerald, we will, our producers are working on that, and I'm going to work on that. So I'm going to step out for a second and use my own cell phone to try to make a contact. It's sort of like making contact on the far side of the moon.
Yeah.
And, so Keith, tread some water here for a second. We'll see
if we can get a signal.
That may have been blown up by now. We don't know.
Yeah. We need to just go ahead and try to call the, front desk at the hotel, and maybe that way we can get through to somebody. But in the meantime, let me tell you that I was very impressed with Mark Weber's interview. Basically, what we see and the explanation for what is happening in Vienna and in Austria generally is just a replay of what has happened out of the same cultural Marxist playbook here in America. Austrians are made to feel ashamed of their ancestors and their history. We in America, particularly American Southerners, are supposed to feel extreme guilt about the existence of slavery. And we get no dispensation for the fact that slavery was endemic to the entire world at one time or another. And furthermore, everybody who is alive in the world today had ancestors who were enslaved and were probably slavers on the other hand too. That's just part of the human condition. But on the other hand, in Vienna, in Austria, they are made to feel a particular guilt about the fact that they intentionally joined into the Ein Volk, or One People, movement of Hitler, which was to cause all German-speaking people in Europe to be under one German government. They're supposed to feel guilt over the fact that they felt a sense of solidarity with other Europeans who spoke German. Austrians, what terrible people you must have been to feel that type of sense of kinship and kith and kin with other German-speaking people. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. But somehow the left, by being in control of the media, being in control of the academy, being in control of the entertainment industry, all of those things, they keep hammering these things home and home and home more and more each and every day. And as a result, what is happening in Europe is just exactly what has happened here. What we need to do is have alternative sources of information. The problem is, and it started in the civil rights movement over here in America, is the advent of broadcast media. Broadcast media is unlike print media. If you read something in a newspaper or a magazine that you didn't agree with, you could put the newspaper or the magazine down and say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound quite right, and you could start assembling or organizing a counter-argument in your mind. You can't do that with a continuous stream of information from the television, from the radio, or from the computer. You basically have to just keep on. You're like a pitcher being filled with water, and when they shut it off, you can't remember all of the issues that you had. You may remember one or two. You may have been able to scribble them down. But basically, most people don't do that. They just sit there and they absorb the information, and they eventually absorb the viewpoint, particularly when no other viewpoint is allowed and is deemed to have any validity whatsoever. In fact, if you have a difference of opinion with the mainstream media, that just is evidence of your own fallen state as a sinful human being. So they've done a great number on the Austrians. Apparently, you know, the two applied methods of Marxism are cultural Marxism and communism. Well, communism, surprisingly enough, was much more benign when it came to molding people's opinions than the present type of applied Marxism, cultural Marxism, has been. That's why the people in Eastern Europe have a healthy sense of their own significance, their own place in history, and a sense of solidarity with their own kind that is being basically boiled out, rendered out of Western Europeans. And, you know, Vienna was a particularly unique case. If you want to see how unique it was, I would recommend that you watch The Third Man, an Orson Welles movie starring, let's see, I think his name is William Holden, and it was basically telling you about what Mark told you, that it was split into four zones. So it was really in the Eastern Bloc or the Western Bloc. It was neither fish nor fowl. And it was very interesting to hear an update on what we knew about Austria and Vienna and what is going on. The past is prelude to the future.
All right, so just a quick update. Even I cannot get in touch with our dear friends, who both, Lana's been texting me all throughout the day and even tweeted out on her Twitter that she was going to be appearing tonight. And Gerald, of course, is a super supporter of TPC. So either Montgomery Bell no longer exists or they're
in. Antifa's nuked them.
I don't know what's going on, but we'll find out. But there's no wasted segment with Keith Alexander, who can always fill time, that's for sure.
It's called being a lawyer.
Rich, I actually, what's so funny, Rich in Nashville texted me and said, here's a topic. I was just watching the video of this during the commercial break in between the hours, between the second and third hour. So Arnold Schwarzenegger went to Cape Town, South Africa to do a public appearance, and while he was there, he was working the crowd, I guess, or standing in the middle of the floor. And one of the black residents of Cape Town came up behind him, drop kicked him, jumped in the air, kicked him with both feet with some pretty significant force. Arnold, you know, of course, stumbles. And the security immediately apprehends the suspect, who is yelling, "I need a Lamborghini," as he is being dragged away and into custody. And Arnold collected himself and was able to leave relatively unscathed. But Arnold's brush up with diversity today.
Celebrate diversity, Arnold.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll see what happens. Who knows what's going to happen in the next segment? We'll find out.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, folks, I am pleased to announce that during the commercial break, we did get a signal over on the dark side of the moon, otherwise known as Montgomery Bell State Park, where Lana Lochtiff of Red Ice TV is joining us. And Lana, I know we only have you for one segment tonight. They're in the middle of the banquet right now, so lots I want to talk to you about. The atmosphere, the opposition, the security. I've heard rumors of Nazi horses, yes, attacking perhaps or kicking kicking Antifa and Antifa zombies attacking cars. We'll get to all of that. But first, you were a speaker there. Let's talk about your speech, the topic, the reception it received, and then we'll go to all the other stuff in very short order.
Sure, it was great high energy. I did a speech about a world gone mad. So I was playing with the clown meme and playing with a little bit of the deeper symbolism of why the clown is important and very relevant. So we think it's just a joking meme, but the clown or the jester has a very important role in mocking the kingdom, and we are pretty much embracing that role. So we need to go with it. It was a blast.
Well, and that was your first Ameren speech. So I know it's always fun. A great event and a well-attended event. So let's talk about that atmosphere. You've been there living it up last night anyway. What's the weekend been like?
Let me tell you. So we got in late last night around 9, and there was fences set up everywhere. There was a checkpoint. There was a literal local Bureau of Investigation, a whole mobile unit, an intelligence unit with a huge satellite off of it. We heard black choppers 3 times making the rounds above the park. We came in. There was guys that looked like military gear. I think there were some cops and some rangers that were going through all their things. They were literally going through my underwear. They were coming into this hotel.
Come on now. I couldn't
believe it. No, literally doing that, of course, you know. And they had the protesters. They kept them very far back, so we couldn't even see them. They were more closer to the entrance, and they were fenced off, and they were very serious. The police about not letting us even go look. We couldn't even know how many people were there. But I got word that there was about 12 people there. And I also heard some of the Antifas whining because I guess the cops had clamped down on a couple of them. And so right away they have to have a fundraiser, right? Of course.
I've seen it.
Of course, they're trying to make money out of the whole thing. So they didn't get the thrill of seeing us and yelling Nazi in our face. But you know, a lot of us were a little concerned with seeing all the security. It's just insane when you think about the state of America and the fact that a few hundred people can't just come and discuss things that used to be normal place just 30 years ago. I never thought 5 years ago that I would be attending a conference where there's FBI and SWAT team and Rangers and literal black choppers. I mean, that is how far gone it is. But it's been great camaraderie. Everybody's been in good spirits. Nothing bad happened today. No one was attacked. So I think all in all, it's been a big plus.
Well, that's fantastic. And I know it is interesting to see those snipers on the roof and the mounted cavalry. And, of course, being amongst people of like mind, very well-adjusted, healthy people, those opportunities to be amongst those types of people in mass are few and far between. Let's talk about the opposition, though. So, obviously, a little bit of overkill. I guess better to err on the side of caution, though, if you have to go one way or another with regard to the security force versus the rabble-like opposition. Although I have heard reports, my text messages have been going off pretty consistently today from people who are there who are chiming in with their observations. And I have heard that there were a handful of Antifa arrested. And in fact, one was standing behind a horse, if what I hear is true, and was injured. Do you know anything about that?
Will the horse be prosecuted?
Oh, no, I didn't hear about that, but it kind of makes me happy. No, I heard nothing about that. I haven't even been able to go there. We tried to ask cops some questions. They were very stern about not letting us know anything that was happening on that side of the park. So, no, I didn't know that. But I think it's great. And then, of course, these Antifas are going to cry about how this is proof that the police in Tennessee are protecting white supremacists and Nazis, and they're all in on it. This is white privilege. But, of course, we know that is not the case at all. They're just trying to prevent any type of violence here at all. They're not.
Well, and you know, any violence would be coming from that opposition. There's no doubt about that. I have been reading some very crazed reports, the fevered dreams reports of Antifa on their Twitter, the chatter that Antifa was running into the woods as mounted horsemen chased them, and that one could feel the horse breathing on her neck as they chased them into the woods, and that she had to have a cigarette and a beer to unwind. I mean, again, this is all what I'm reading on Twitter, so I'm sure there's a wide chasm between that and the actual truth. But what we do know is that apparently there were some arrests, and that Antifa is already trying to raise money for their comrades who have been arrested for their bail.
Of course.
You talked a little bit about the security, the opposition, the atmosphere, your speech. With just a couple of minutes remaining, and I know we got to get you back to dinner, so we're not going to keep you longer than 10 minutes, but talk about some of the other speakers and just some of the other observations that you think would be worth relaying to our audience who couldn't be there.
Well, honestly, I was here a few years ago, and I just find that the audience is just getting younger and younger and younger. So there are packs of young people. There's lots of women that I've connected with, people that listen to the show. So it's that, you know, people used to think, oh, American Renaissance is a lot of older boomers and whatnot, kind of poking fun at that. That is not the case anymore, actually. It was lots of young people. So I think that that is very encouraging. People that are very aware of meme culture, they loved, you know, that we were talking about the clown meme today, people that are on our level. So it is a growing movement. It's always happy for me to see a lot of young people getting involved. And that's the first thing that really stuck out at me today.
And I'm sure more than a handful of Red Ice listeners are there at the conference.
Definitely. Lots of people. So it's great, you know, because, you know, we meet each other online and we get to send messages and stuff, but nothing beats actually meeting people face to face, and met a lot of great people today. So.
Good. Well, I was mentioning before you came on that I have honestly only been able to go to the Amarin conferences that I've spoken at because the reception there, the internet connection, and even the cell phone accessibility is so bad at that state park that broadcasting is a very sketchy proposition. With us broadcasting on Saturday night, it's difficult to be up there. I have sent people up there to call in, and they sometimes go outside, whatever has to be done. But we're so thankful that you stepped out of the proceedings this evening to report in for just a few minutes. Tell us what's going on there, if you don't mind being our eyes and ears on the ground. What's going on there as we speak this very second?
We're getting ready for James Alsup to come talk about Beyond Trump. So everyone is eating some dessert, I think, getting ready to hear the last speech for the evening before they head on down to some bungalows and have some camaraderie, some partying, shall I say.
Ah, the after parties. Yes, that's right. Now, will you be in...
I know we've had like the big FBI van has gone too, so
Well, that's good. I guess Antifa got tired and went to bed. But I know Sam Dixon is always the closer, so he'll be coming up tomorrow. Are you and Hendrick going to be partaking in any of the after-hours festivities this evening? Or
possibly. Possibly. You know, it's hard when you get going at 9 a.m. and you have to go until late hours. I don't know. Maybe we're getting old, James.
That's right. We're all in the same.
You're honorary boomers.
We're getting there to that age. But anyway, hey, Lana, listen, thanks for stepping out. I know, like I said, even getting you on the phone tonight is hard in that bunker that is Montgomery Bell. But we appreciate it. We appreciate you reporting for us tonight. And enjoy the rest of the evening. And we'll, I'm sure, talk again very soon.
All right, you guys. Enjoy. Bye.
Lana Lochtif of Red Ice. Thank you, Lana. And so that's what's going on at Montgomery Bell tonight. A good report.
Well, I'm glad that the Tennessee police have not let us down. They didn't let us down in Shelbyville. Fortunately, they have nothing in common with their compadres in Charlottesville, Virginia. And Tennessee may be one of the last outposts of freedom in America. I'm very proud of the fact as a Tennessean that we have the one venue where our people can meet and be protected from leftist violence in America, I think. You know,
and that's not to say at all that the state of Tennessee or the law enforcement here agrees with us or disagrees with us. It's just that they're going to make sure that the rule of law stands.
That they do their job.
Imagine that. Imagine that. Okay. We'll be back.
Listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
With many more states considering bills to follow Alabama and Georgia in passing strict abortion bans, Planned Parenthood President Dr. Leanna Wynn says women have the right to be upset.
Women in this country are paying attention. We are outraged. We know who is standing up for us and our health care and who wants to take away our rights.
And Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders says conservatives and the religious right have launched a war on abortion rights.
Right now, all across this nation, there is a well-funded attack coordinated by right-wing extremists to deny women the right to control their own bodies and their own futures.
Within the next week or so, Missouri's governor plans to sign a bill restricting abortions after 8 weeks of pregnancy. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? I'm happy to inform you there's a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you decide your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. Because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined, I'm a member. My children are members. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids for $449 per month. That's my cost, and I'm loving it. This is the way healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
The threat of severe storms will spread across a vast area today, including Texas to southern Minnesota. The greatest threats will be across central to northern Texas, toward Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Louisiana. There have been as many as 34 tornado reports since Friday morning across the central U.S., including Kansas, Nebraska, and Texas. President Donald Trump addressed the National Association of Realtors meeting in Washington. There he criticized the Democrats running for president, but only so much.
But I don't want to hit it too hard. I want to save it for the election because I don't want them to change. I don't want them to have time to pivot. I want them to go with this stuff.
U.S. drug czar James Carroll is preparing to travel to China later this year to check on whether the government there is keeping its promise to crack down on fentanyl production and trafficking. Carroll tells Fox News.
Almost all the drugs that are killing Americans are coming in from overseas. They're either coming in from China or they're going from China to Mexico.
China recently announced at the beginning this month it would regulate all fentanyl-related drugs as a class of controlled substances. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
What a filthy job.
Could be worse.
How?
Could be raining.
That's what, that's actually what people that go to Ameren conferences say when they are talking about cell phone service. When they're trying to make a call out or receive a call, they say,
we're going to have to launch our own satellite there next year.
Well, we actually, so we got Lana a segment late, and we're thankful that we were able to get her at all up there, because, I mean, like I said, that's why I can't go to Ameren, is because you can't broadcast from there. You can barely even call out, much less receive calls if you're in the conference room. So we just got, you know, we had another guest, Gerald, who was going to call in, but we were running a segment behind, and we didn't want to obligate Gerald for later in the hour when the main event's going to be going. So we just told Gerald we'll catch him later, and we thank him for volunteering. But I know it's difficult to reach. He had tried to call us back, and he had to use somebody else's phone, and his phone was getting no reception, and so he had to send up a smoke signal and all that. So anyway, so that's going to conclude our Ameren coverage, because you just can't get in there. Unless you're there, you're not even going to call in. But let's go to Jack Ryan, why don't we, for the last half hour of tonight's broadcast. Could be worse, could be raining, couldn't it, Jack?
It can always get worse, and that's I've been in some bad places.
I don't think cell phone reception at Montgomery Bell could not get worse, but anyway,
well,
keep going,
Jack.
Well,
we didn't have cell phones 25 or 30 years ago. You know, we just, you know,
that's where they are. It's a time war.
Granted, but yeah, you can always get worse. I've lived in some rough, brutal, violent, terrible places, big cities, big city women, terrible crimes, 3,000 shootings, 600 murders, 2,000 murders. I lived in New York City. So I've lived in.
But you know, Jack, the one thing about Montgomery Bell, I don't think any place else has Nazi horses.
Stop it. Jack, you know, honestly, so Jack, you were off for the full month of April when we were doing our special Confederate History Month series, and it was a special event. Now we're getting back to the routine week in, week out fair here at TPC. When I when we got back in touch as we were coming out of that series, you presented me with two topics for conversation. One was what's been going on in Chicago for the last several weeks, and the other was what we covered last week, which dealt a little bit with Notre Dame and some of the other issues going on in France, and that's what we ended up talking about last week with you, your first week back from the hiatus.
Sure.
Now, you just made mention of the fact that it could be worse. You live in Chicago. You deal with a lot of bad things there. I'd actually like to pick that up, if you don't mind. I mean, what's been going on in your neck of the woods?
Okay, so I was born and raised in Chicago. I'm a third-generation Chicagoan. I'm by this very famous community, University of Chicago. It's in the south side of Chicago, intellectual place. It's where they split the atom, and it wasn't for peaceful purposes. But it's very, it's a nice, very beautiful neighborhood, but it's always been surrounded by very rough neighborhoods. In my father's time, it was rough ethnic Catholic neighborhoods, like Butkus and those people. But they went all black. Largest all-black African-American neighborhoods, like 100% in the early 60s and things like that. So I add that. And then they've got it's a center of liberal leftist black power politics. The Nation of Islam moved here, and then Barack Obama moved here. They made it his base of operation. He wasn't here for very long, but he hooked up with some leftist lib people of this ethnic group we're not supposed to name, Bill Ayers, named Axelrod, and they promoted him to be a U.S. senator, and then he's president of the United States. And then he booked town, he wasn't gone. But now he's sort of coming back, and they're stealing a public park that was named after Andrew Jackson, Jackson Park, to make a presidential center. It's not a library, but they're just stealing a park and building a 22-story high-rise. It's a free public park, so local park lovers are very upset. So this is the area and the politics of the city. It's always been one party and kind of corrupt, but it was ethnic, Irish and then Yugoslavian Poles. But now we just had a strange election that the former mayor, Rahm Emanuel, is a Jewish guy. He served in the Israeli Defense Force. His father was in the Irgun, the terrorist one that attacked the British. He was married, stepped off. And so we had a primary. It's a one-party state. There's no Republicans here. Very low turnout, like 13%. And so the candidates, the people who vote, they vote block voting. And it's, they're white ethnics or whites didn't have any candidates. There wasn't a Hispanic candidate. So it was just black. And then the homosexuals, lesbians now vote as a block. And so they vote for power. So our U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth is lesbian. And then they elected a black lesbian, Black Lives Matter mayor of Chicago. I actually voted for her because she was better than the alternative, my former alderwoman who was the county board chairman. They're all, you know, standard leftists, less, you know, all black criminals or political prisoners, but she's probably less hostile than the opponent. So she won. So it's bad. But again, it could be worse, and it would be worse. It used to be our cold weathers would really cut down crime in the winter, but our criminals can now rob and kill people in any weather. They're like cockroaches that survived the nuclear war. They're adapted. We've got all kinds of dreadful things, wilding gangs of large numbers of young teens that will invade nice neighborhoods and rob places and things like that. So things but they can always get worse.
All of which proves your point, Jack, that things can get worse, right? And they have in Chicago.
You know, they have, you know, and they look at some crime, just terrible crimes. You think, okay, what's the worst crime ever in Chicago? It's this homosexual, rapist, serial killer, John Wayne Gacy, who killed just dozens of young teens. And you think, well, that's the worst. It couldn't get any worse. But then there's Jeffrey Dahmer, who was active in Chicago. He was also a homosexual, serial, rapist, mass murderer, but he was also a cannibal. Okay, so it got worse. You know, and you think, like,
now he'd get elected to Congress.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm going to put up a cartoon that says, notice, you know, we don't serve homosexual, rapist, serial murder, cannibals, and you get sued that you're being racist and discriminatory towards this cannibal, rapist community. But these are the places that I live in, and all the bad things about Chicago and big cities, my father always says, it builds character. You know, it makes us the tough, virtuous people. I think that's a stupid thing to say, but there's something to be said for it. You're not if you can survive in a place like Chicago, it does toughen you up, and you're not going to just back down in crime the first time someone calls you a name.
Well, keep saying something to the man.
Well, I guess I don't know. I can't comprehend if being chased by John Wayne Gacy on one side and Jeffrey Dahmer on the other, and David Axelrod is my representative.
Obama was my Illinois state representative. Axelrod is just—he's just a promoter. He's just a promoter that he's got these candidates that are going to bring everybody together, or you know, or whatever. Certain people you don't want to be together with. So, but that's what's going on. But Chicago is a beautiful city, gorgeous, good rain.
Well, I can see why you want to get out though. Now
I want to get out.
One of your favorite characters of all time, Al Bundy, was from Chicago.
Oh, I love Al Bundy. Married with Children. But he got out too, apparently.
I'll tell you what, it's good to have a little bit of comedy at the end of the night, as Jack Ryan so often provides us with. I don't even know if we've actually gotten into the theme of tonight. With this third hour has been so haphazard that I have to go back.
Jack is our version of Rodney Dangerfield. No respect. I mean,
So we'll get, let's see, Jack, we have like a minute left. I know we have. Well, my mic wasn't even turned on. I don't know how long
it's
been turned
off. Yeah, you were kind of faint, but I can hear you fine now.
I would imagine
he doesn't even need a mic after corresponding with Montgomery Bell State Park.
Yeah. I can just shout to him from Memphis and they hear me. Wow. I hope it wasn't turned off for the whole 3 hours tonight.
What a change that is.
I got to collect myself after that. Well, let me ask my producer, Mrs. Producer, how long did I sound poorly? Was it from 6 o'clock? Okay, just a few. Okay, maybe my finger must have hit it by accident. Wow.
That's what happens when you communicate with Chicago.
We got Bethany taking care of us tonight. I'm glad she said something. My mic was completely turned off. So basically what y'all heard was me bleeding over to Keith's mic about 5 feet away. I guess Lana could hear me anyway. She was responding to me, wasn't she, Keith?
Yeah, she was, right. Okay, yeah, so. You do have a loud voice, James.
Radio voice. Well, Jack, we got to get to your recommendations. We got to get to your book. You got two songs tonight. I don't know if you'd count that little thing that we just heard, Could Be Worse, Could Be Raining, as a song. We do have another song coming up for Jack, and he is our cultural correspondent, after all. And we're going to get his book and movie recommendations. And I don't even know if we hit the theme for the night, but that was an alternate theme for last week. So we worked that in. But thankfully, we have two segments with Jack tonight. So we'll exhaust it all. God knows I'm not calling Montgomery Bell again tonight. So stay tuned. More from Jack when we come back.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no money.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Mom, you don't know anything about me anymore.
Honey, I know you're good at math. You don't like English. I know Ryan smiled at you yesterday at school. I know your favorite color is purple. And I know you don't like mushrooms. And who can blame you? I mean, mushrooms are a fungus, and people generally try to avoid funguses. Or is it fungi? I'm never quite sure. But, you know, either way, I mean, penicillin is good.
Penicillin is a mold.
Huh. Well, I guess you're right. So you like penicillin, but not mushrooms.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
Mom, If we talk, will you be quiet?
Love to.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I'm always love my mama. She's my favorite girl.
just to buy me a new perfume. I never understood how Mama made it through the week when she never ever got a good night's sleep. Oh, I'm one of a kind. You've got yours and I've got mine. Oh, hey Mama, hey Mama, my heart belongs to you. Oh, yeah. I'll always be my mama.
Well, Jack, Ryan, like yours truly, celebrating Mother's Day a week late. Although, I gave my mom on Mother's Day a card. A card from my children as well, bouquet of roses, and a trip, you know, to the beach. So,
great.
I had a great mom.
Sardis in Mississippi.
Right? That's right. Lakes do have beaches too, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Hey, by the way, if we'd have won the war, Keith, maybe we'd have the kind of cell phone reception Jack's got in Chicago tonight. That's what we need down here in the South. But anyway, Jack, let's talk about your second song of the evening and your recommendations for the week, and
okay,
then the overall thing.
You said it was a belated Mother's Day song. It's one of my favorite mother-related songs. The Intruders, I always loved my mom, and I just love that early 70s R&B. It's very soulful, but it's good music, people can dance to it. It's romantic. And I get along just great with regular black Americans that are middle-aged or not criminals. We like the same music, same sports people, which is a shame that this brutal communist group that's outed me and attacked me and is spreading vicious rumors in my neighborhood about making... I made some negative comments about black gang criminals that are murdering little children, and they spread it out to say that I hate all black people. And the group that did it is not a black-associated one. It's a communist group, well-funded. It's a shame.
Pray tell, who are they?
This group, you're not supposed to mention them, but it starts with J, it ends with W, and it rhymes with Jew. SPLC.
Why am I not surprised?
They're vindictive. But the Intruders, you can't go wrong with early 70s R&B, soul, Motown. Chicago blues, it's a little heavier, but it's great music, and it's got earthly themes, but it's nothing like this destructive, negative, hateful rap music, which I just despise. And I feel that, you know what they used to say in the 50s, Elvis Presley and rock and roll were corrupting our nation and stuff. Like, no, it wasn't like, but yeah, but this rap music stuff.
Well, they were, but it was fun anyway.
Yeah. But, I don't know, it's just a little soulful, and it got a little hits in it. I don't know. You can be soulful, a little bit sexy without.
Hey, Herman's never hurt anybody.
Yeah,
Herman's hurt. Now James is into Herman's Hermits. So.
But I love that 70s R&B black American music, and it's and plus I like to dance, and I don't see how you can dance to heavy metal or rap music. You can dance alone, you can twerk or something like that, but if you're dancing alone, you're going to be dating and making love alone. That's not something we want to encourage people, I'm couples dancing, so I'm my couples dancing of salsa dancing.
Who knows where this will end?
Great. Salsa dancing is going great. I highly recommend it. Teach your young guys. You can get good at partner dancing, never have a problem getting a date. American guys are terrible dancers. Competition for me. So
we may have had more important segments on the radio tonight, but I don't know if we've had more fun segments.
Wide ranging, freewheeling.
All right, well, you go.
Thank God Jack's not at Ameren tonight, or he wouldn't be on the show.
Yeah, well, they let me win. Okay, you want to hear my theme book recommendation? There. Okay, the theme
absolutely
isn't better. Bad doesn't mean good, and Nietzsche said some really stupid stuff. So I've been in past shows. I've talked about some of the really stupid things that Thomas Jefferson said in the Declaration of Independence, John Lennon's Imagine, universal democracy and equality and stuff. So Nietzsche, the German philosopher, okay, he said, that which doesn't kill me makes me stronger, okay? Now just think about that. What happens if you get run over by a truck and your leg gets crushed and they have to amputate your leg, but it doesn't kill you? Is that supposed to make you stronger? Or if you get a bad case of some third world disease or something like that? So these bad, I've lived in a lot of urban black American places, and it's the corruption where they say that bad means good, and they attack the regular kids who try to be nice and good. And so, I mean, just think about that. Bad means good. Do you want to live in a bad neighborhood, have a bad credit score, have your daughter have a bad reputation, have bad health and things like that. So, no, bad doesn't mean good. Worse isn't better. And that quote by Nietzsche, he's a brilliant guy. You got to take different parts of him. But that quote about that which doesn't kill me makes me stronger, it's just it's ridiculous and it's a stupid thing. And if you see...
And you also mentioned songs. And
you mentioned some?
I said one of my favorite quotes, which is related to this, is by Aldous Huxley. And he said, anything too stupid to be said may always be sung.
That goes back to, you know, Imagine by John Lennon.
John Lennon.
Jay, sometimes that's some of Jack's intro music, too, for
so
comical reasons.
Get some themes, start to getting in habit. Even though I'm getting deplatformed all over the social media and stuff, I'd like for our listeners to consider using some of my themes for if someone is just BSing about global stuff or open borders immigration, play that John Lennon song, Imagine. When some bad person or traitor dies, when the Bush family used Queens, another one bites the dust. Tell me lies. Tell me.
Well, if you're getting deplatformed, you must be doing something right, Jack. That's all we got to say here in Political Cesspool.
Over the plate. And the next thing they're going to do is take away our banking rights. You can't use a credit card. Some chase.
They're doing that. They're absolutely doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be down to barter.
Yeah. Right. But my book recommendation, okay, this is a repeat. And I have the right to repeat some things because I don't think everyone reads all my books. I hope you read the Cliff Notes or go to Wikipedia. But it's Dante.
Yeah, I tell you what, when you make a recommendation, Keith goes to the library, he reads that book before the next show.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, my speed reading is finally paying off.
But it's Dante's Inferno. I think it's the 13th century. By the time that Notre Dame was built, it is an Italian writer, either of Venice or Florence. He was the real Renaissance man. You know, compared to your average American stiff,
How thick is that book that you've just recommended our readers to read?
It's less than War and Peace, I think, but it's got a lot of chapters. And he's got it's 800 years after the fall of classical Rome, but they remember it. And so one thing I really like about Dante, he's got a nice mix of pagan and Christian. Pope is there. But the great Roman poet, the best one, national poet, Virgil, is in Dante's Inferno, and he's leading the head guy into the different levels of hell. And so that's the point I'm trying to make here tonight, is that it's not just this.
Well, let me quiz you then. What is the seventh level of hell in Dante's Inferno?
All of them, like the traitors or the gluttonous.
Montgomery Bell.
A date with a Chicago woman that went to Yale Law School. That's got to be.
No, that's the last. That's the deepest level.
You can get worse. You know, you can go down, this is the worst one. But again, you can always have a worse date. You can always have a worse homosexual serial killer. You can always have a worse election. And you think like the worst.
But only in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a national.
What? Do you know what the seventh level is? Or are you just trying to show Jack up?
I'm just trying to show Jack up.
I have that in front of me, the Encyclopedia Britannica of 1960, which is the best one. So they were presenting all of those ones. So they've got a good write-up. I think it's about 5 pages on Dante. And those are the ones that you did. And the movie recommendations are Young Frankenstein and Mel Brooks comedies. I think that they're funny. And they're a little bit bawdy in a Benny Hill way, but they're not hateful. Mel Brooks doesn't have that Talmudic hatred of our people that other ones have. So you can watch Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles. It's funny. You know, there's jokes about
Spaceballs.
What about History of the World?
I would like to recommend Spaceballs.
I don't think I even saw that. I remember of Mel Brooks are Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles.
I'll tell you very quickly. Spaceballs is a parody on Star Wars, and it's like a crap take on Star Wars with Bill Pullman, John Candy, Rick Moranis, late 80s movie. Good movie. Funny movie.
Good. Okay.
My goodness. Well, we've had some laughs tonight, I tell you.
Well, you can.
We always have that when we have Jack on. Yeah.
If you didn't have a good sense of humor, I don't know how you could stay sane in this world. And humor.
No, you could. Yeah, you got to laugh to keep from crying.
Our enemies are humorless. Our worst enemies, politically correct, 8th century Islamists, they won't let you have a beer, these politically correct feminist stuff. The old idea is that, that they're obsession.
Speaking of feminists, I saw where Alyssa Milano, who is about 50 years old, is saying she's going to withdraw from sex until Alabama overturns their law or something.
Men everywhere are celebrating.
I'm just saying, I mean, you know, it's not a threat after you've hit the wall. I mean, to say that you're going to withhold so childbearing women who are actually in their childbearing.
Well, here it is. There's no such thing as menopause, but there is womenopause.
Okay? We could have gone 3 hours with Jack at this rate, but we are out of time. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Lana. Thank you, Mark. Keith, everybody, Bethany, Sam, our crew. I'm James. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Jack. Good night, everybody.
Okay, good night.